At this time, please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for your blessings and for the opportunity you've given us at life on this day. Lord, we are thankful for this avenue you've given us to be able to share your gospel. We pray, Lord, that the speaker of the hour, Brother Thomas Martin, will preach your word in such a way, Lord, that those listening will understand your will, that they will hear the engrafted word which is able to save their souls. Lord, we pray that he conveys what your son did on the cross of Calvary, how he shed his blood and how he rose from the grave the third day, Lord. We pray, Lord, that he conveys the truth about the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. Pray, Lord, that those listening will understand these basic Bible truths which are able to save their souls and understand without a doubt what is required of them to be saved. We pray, Lord, you bless us with the increase. We know your word will not return void to you, Lord. But pray, Lord, that we can continue to do these things that are pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We're very thankful to have you as our co-host, and we're so thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. You are what we consider the VIPs. That means you're a very important person to us. And we put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that in Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. God has given us, through his word, the instructions, what one must do to save their precious soul. We believe your soul is precious, but so do I. I believe my soul is precious. So what I'm doing is to save myself and those that hear me. And so tonight, we put this call on for our visitors, our friends, our family, our co-workers, those our associates, those we know about. We've invited you via Facebook, emails, Instagram. We've been getting you on this call to hear the simple truth. And we hope you have your Bible, because we believe, not like the world, not like America, that the final answer to the world's problem is written in the book called the Bible. Tonight, I have a great friend of mine, one who I spent some time with in Hawaii. He was an elder there at the congregation where I served when I was working in the secular world. My wife and I was able to meet his wife, Sharon, and myself became great friends. Brother Thomas Martin has preached for more than 40 years. He preached for the congregation in Maryland, Texas, Hawaii, California, and Washington. He's preached internationally in Korea, South Arabia. He's been a lecturer in many of the Brotherhood lectureships. He received his degree from Southwestern Christian College. However, Brother Martin has been married to Sharon for 38 years. He's a good friend of mine and one who I've grown to respect and to love. My wife and I met him when we were young in the ministry. He was one of the elders to help develop us when we spent a year and a half in Hawaii, Oahu. And so we're thankful to have him on the call. He's now with Seattle, Washington. He's serving as a minister there. Tonight he will speak to us from the subject, the topic we've given him, why God gave his only son. Why God gave his only son. Brother Thomas, will you help us with that truth about why God gave his only son? Let's give our ear to him.
Thank you very much, Brother Brooks. Please turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and we will look at verse number 4 and verse number 5. When we come to the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, he established and he has written to this church. Many at the true church here in Galatia were leaving Christ for a man-made doctrine. They had heard the gospel message, the death of Christ Jesus on the cross for a sinful world. They understood that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. They received the word and understood that on the third day he was resurrected. They understood that he lives and that he sits at the right hand of the Father, that he intercedes for us. And after receiving this, understanding this, when they should have been using this as their foundation for life to live on, that it would be their awakening call, their anthem of life, somehow, some way, they left it. They began to turn from it, and they began to honor what was created more than the Creator himself. So Paul wrote them this letter to let them know that the laws that God Almighty gave them, that they are now putting so much faith in, is dead. He is letting them know, as he had told the church at Colossae, that the ordinances and the writings that were opposed to us, that were in opposition to us, they have all been taken down. They have been nailed to the cross, and they no longer exist. He is writing them to let them know that that gospel message that they received of Christ Jesus, he is still alive. He has always been alive. He always will be alive. And if you want, if you have any hope of having a relationship with God, if your goal, if your desire is to make heaven your home, you can only do it through the person of Jesus Christ. So Paul, when he gets to chapter 4 of the letter of Galatians, he brings his lesson, he brings this message to a height. And in verse 4, he makes it clear and he states that God, when the fullness of time had come, when everything was right, when God had finally got tired of seeing bulls and goats and sheep, pigeons, when he got tired of seeing them slaughtered and their blood shed on an altar, when he got tired and figured they had enough prophets who came through, who was preaching a gospel message that something and someone who is better than what you have is coming. When he got to the point that he figured they had enough of all of this, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that at that time when the time was fulfilled, God kept his promise. That is what he did. When the time was right, he kept his promise. All the prophecies that were talked about in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, when it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. He kept his promise. When Isaiah prophesied that a child would be born, a son would be given, he kept his promise, and he sent forth his only son. When Micah prophesied and said that the ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem and come from Bethlehem, he kept his promise. Listeners, I want you to understand one thing. And don't ever forget this one point. The one thing that the true God, the true and only God of heaven, cannot do is lie. When God speaks to us, it's money you can take to the bank. It is against the nature of God. God has no idea how to lie, how to conceive, how to deceive. So when he says that, hey, he has sent forth his son, it was prophesied that when the time would be right, he would come into the world. And the Bible says here that when the time was right, it says that God sent his son. I want you to understand something, because there's something very important that is implied here in this scripture. And what is implied is that Jesus the Christ was already living. He was already alive. You cannot send someone who is not alive. If someone is not living, you can't send them. Paul chose his words carefully. He used his words carefully. He did not say he brought Jesus into existence and created the Jesus. Jesus was already in existence. This is why the Bible tells us before Abraham was, he says, I am. He was already in the world. This is why the Apostle John in John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing was made that was made. It can be said that the only person to ever walk the face of the earth who is older than their mother is Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that was sent, which means he's the only one that was in existence. He came in the flesh with flesh and blood. He came as a man. He hungered. He thirsted. He laughed. He cried. cried. He was happy. He was sad. He felt the pain of losing a loved one. He felt the joy of having children around him. He enjoyed the company of eating and drinking with friends. He suffered the pains of life. He felt the whip that was on his back when he was beaten. He had been tempted like any other man. He did not just look like a man. He was a man. He was human. He was not a ghost. You can hug him, and you can feel the warmth of his flesh. When it says he came forth into this world born of a woman, Paul is making it clear. Paul is making it clear that the timeless one, the one who has never been restricted, who has never been bound by time, the timeless one stepped out of eternity and stepped into creation. The one, the bread of heaven, who have fed so many for so long, temporarily, was dependent on the bread of Mary. When God sent his son into the world, I want you to understand something. An animal wasn't making it. His blood was worthless, and the only thing it did was show just how much we need Christ Jesus. An angel was too weak. He had no power. He was only a messenger. When God sent forth his son into the world, born of a woman, mankind had to know that Jesus understood what it was like to be a man. This is why he had to come into the world. This is why the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 4 and chapter 15 that we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses. Jesus understands us because he was us. He was ridiculed like us. He loved like us. He was hated like us. He helped others like us, and he was helped by others like us. He was born under the law. When Jesus was born, they were under the Mosaic law. The legislation of the day was the Mosaic law. What does that mean? What that mean exactly was, according to the law of Moses, Jesus, on the eighth day, he was circumcised. He had to be presented and for purification purposes as any other Jew. His family had to make yearly trips to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. This is what he is talking about when he is born under the law. All the things, all the restrictions that any man had to live by and under in the law, Jesus, he had to live by. And then we come to our subject. We come to our subject topic that is put before us today. Why did God send his only son? We just stated he didn't send an animal because an animal's blood was worthless. He couldn't send a messenger because he was powerless. God sent his son, and Paul gives us two reasons here. He gives us two reasons that we'll talk about why God sent his son and gave us his only begotten son. And he makes it clear that God, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, and then he states to redeem those who are under the law. What are you saying, Paul? What are you saying here? He is saying he had to buy us back for a price. Why did he have to buy us back? Where were we that we needed to be bought back to Christ? We were lost in sin. This is why Romans 5 and 8 tells us that we were sinners without hope, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is why Romans chapter 6 tells us that we were slaves to the law of sin, that we had no hope, that we had no way of getting out of it because we were slaves. We were captured, we were taken, and we were held captive, and we could not do it for ourselves, because if we could, we would have done it a long time ago. But we never could get loose from the bonds of sin. And Jesus Christ, he sent his son to redeem us, to pay that price, to pay the price, so you and I, mankind, could be the children of God. This is why we were redeemed. Let me explain something to you. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 that in God is light, and in him there is no darkness, none at all. What are you saying here, preacher? What I am saying, we could not have a relationship with God as long as we were in the state of sin that we were in. Why could we not have a relationship? Because God is light. We were darkness. As long as we were in darkness, we couldn't get out of darkness. We could not have a relationship with God. This is why Jesus came. This is why God sent his son. He had so much love for mankind when we didn't have enough sense, when we didn't have enough within us to love ourselves, God Almighty, he had love, compassion, grace, and mercy, and sent his only son for you and for I. Let me explain something to you. He became the curse, according to Galatians 3:13, so we wouldn't have to. Because the wages of sin is death. And that's what we were looking at. That's what we were looking at. But I want to tell you something. When you talk about being redeemed, the process of being redeemed is just as important as being redeemed itself. What it took to purchase us, it took the blood of Christ Jesus. He hung on that cross. When they found him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall to judgment hall, Pilate, knowing that there was no case at all against him, that he had committed no crime, but given in to the chief priests and to the Pharisees and to the Jews, giving them what they want, he ordered and allowed him to be crucified. And when he gave that order, that allowed Roman guards to take Jesus, strip him in public, and beat him 39 times, flesh opening up, blood running out, the agony of pain going through his body, having all of his loved ones to look at him, having the chief priest and everybody stand there and watch him as he's beaten within an inch of his life, to be put, taken a wooden cross, placed on that open back, marched through the city, marched to Golgotha, be laid down and nailed to the cross, to have that cross lifted up, dropped in a hole, to have flesh tear and rip in pieces, to be left there to die. This is what Jesus, this is the price he had to pay. This is what he had to go through to pay, so you and I can be called the children of God. This is what he went through. And finally, when he died, they took him down. And the thing that I love is that they placed him in a borrowed tomb. Listeners, let me remind you of something. Anytime you borrow something, by definition, you have to return it. They did not put Jesus in his own grave. They did not put Jesus in his own grave. They put Jesus in a borrowed grave because he wasn't going to keep it. He was not going to keep it. He had every intention. He was giving it back, and he did. On the third day, the Bible tells us, and there was a great earthquake. Jesus rolled that stone away. He got up and said, all power, heaven and hell, is now given unto me. It's now given unto me. And it's because he got up out of that grave. It's because he now sits at the right hand of God Almighty. We look at the second part of this verse here. When it says, to redeem those under the law, look at the next thing that Paul says. That we might be made the sons of God. I want to make something clear to you. I want to make something perfectly clear to you. He says that we might be made sons. That we might be made sons. That does not mean everybody belongs to Christ. Did you hear what I said? Everybody does not belong to Christ. Did Christ die on the cross for the sins of mankind? Yes, he did. Did Christ Jesus take care of the sin problem of mankind? Yes, he did. Did he open up the doors of heaven so that any and everybody have the opportunity to walk through? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He did all of that. But does that does not mean everybody is a child of God. I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus himself tells and makes the statement, not everybody who calls me Lord is going to go to heaven. Jesus says that himself. He said, many are going to come to me. They're going to tell me of all the wonderful things that they have done. They're going to tell me of all the sacrifices they have done. And then will I tell them, I don't know you. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus, after man had made sacrifices? Because they didn't do it God's way. It was what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He says, when you find me in Christ, I don't want to be found having a righteousness of my own. I want to be found having a righteousness that is based upon the goodness, the grace, the mercy of Christ Jesus. You see, there's a difference. When you come to Jesus talking about what you like, what you want, you have to understand, are you asking Jesus to have a relationship with you, or are you trying to accept a relationship with Jesus? There's a difference. There's a difference. That's what you have to understand. That's what you have to understand this evening. Not everybody who will sit up, walk into the house of the Lord, who picks up God's word, is going to make it into heaven. Well, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? When Paul said that we might be made the sons of God, it'll be those who have accepted the gospel message, who have accepted that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. You still have your Bibles. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 15 with me. Right into the church at Corinth. Look at what he says in verse number 1. Look at what it says. It says, now, brothers, I want you to remind you of this gospel I preach to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. By this gospel message, by this good news that Jesus Christ, that he suffered, that he bled, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose. Look at what he says. You are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. See, the question I need to ask at the end of this, and my time is getting away from me, I see. My time is getting away from me. The question I need to ask is, are you going to be a Galatian, or are you going to remain in Christ? You see, notice what he says is, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. He says, so I have received, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and to the 12. This is the gospel message. Who is going? Who accepts that message? I want you to understand something. When you hear that message, as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up with the 11, the 12 of them told them about this Jesus, and they did not want to hear anything about it. And Peter stood up and preached to them, and he told them about verse 36. He said, let it be known that this Jesus who you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. The Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked, or they believed, or they were shocked, they were amazed in their heart. That's what you have to understand. When you hear and you believe this gospel message that Paul is reminding the church at Galatia, this message, you must hear it, you must believe it, you must accept it to the point that it stays with you, that it changes you. That's what repentance is, because Peter told them in verse 38, you repent and you be baptized. When you talk about repentance, you're talking about a change of attitude. You're changing your mind. Go back to Acts 2 and verse 37 for a moment. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked. Before, they did not want to hear nothing about Jesus. And now, all of a sudden, they're totally shocked. They're totally amazed. Their attitude and their mindset have changed. Your mindset has to change in Christ Jesus. It has to change. That's what Acts 2:38. And then you have to be willing to confess. You have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord, and you have to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord of your life. This is what Romans 10:9-10 tells us, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Peter told them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he told them two things. If they're going to be saved, if you are going to hold fast to that doctrine and stand firm to the end and not believe in pain, he said two things they had to do. He said one was repent. He said the other one they had to do was be baptized. I want to make it clear. When he told them to be baptized, he made it clear to them, very clear, that there was nothing else they were supposed to do. There were no substitutions. What are you saying, preacher? In other words, he didn't tell them to recite the sinner's prayer. He didn't tell them that. He didn't tell no parents, take your infant babies, run them to the preacher, and get that child christened. He didn't tell them none of that. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And I just want to let you know, when you are baptized, you are not touched. You are not sprinkled. You are not poured. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, it tells us that baptism is a burial. We're in the business of baptizing. We're in the business of connecting people to Christ Jesus. And if you have not made that confession that Jesus is Lord, has accepted him in his law of faith, I beg, I plead with you, you need to do that tonight. You need to do that now. You need to call in to the Church of Christ in your area. You need to call in to Brother Brooks, Highland Heights Church of Christ, to this program. We will get you in contact with the Church of Christ in your area. We will get them up in the middle of the night. We will get them up in the middle of the night, and they can baptize you, and you can be in Christ, and Christ will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I beg you, I plead with you. Christ Jesus, he is your intercessor today. He loves you, and he's pleading for you. But tomorrow, he's going to be your judge. The Bible tells us, he who receiveth not my word, who rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, has one that will judge him. You do not want to be judged by Christ Jesus. I beg you, I plead with you, give your life to Christ Jesus this night. This is why he sent his son. You were that important. He loves you that much. God bless you. God keep you. Brother Brooks, I'll turn things back over to you.
Thank you, Brother Martin. I want to personally thank you for serving me and my wife when we was in Hawaii, as an elder there in Hawaii, Oahu. And certainly you brought the message tonight and the topic we gave you, why God gave his only son. I'm personally thankful God gave his only son for me, because I know without him I cannot have eternal life. If tonight, if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that we want your soul to be saved. So we ask you to get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them you want to obey their gospel. You want to be saved. You're thankful that God gave his only son to save your soul. And that person will make sure they get you to a Church of Christ that can baptize you tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. If you're on the call tonight and you have questions about anything that been said, what we want you to do is email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make sure that we get a person to you, no matter where you are in the United States, or if you're listening from outside of the United States, we will ensure that we get a sound preacher to you to make sure you get taught properly and get you baptized, that you can be a member of the only true church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. You do that by hearing that gospel you preach tonight. He preached tonight. Believing that with all of your heart. Repenting your sin. Confessing Jesus to be the Son of God. Then you must be baptized as commanded by our Lord. And then the Lord, then upon that baptism, will wash away your sins and add you to the only church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I just want to study more. I want to learn more. We got messages from May all the way through now, July. We're going into July. Sound preaching with different topics. You can go on our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. You can listen to those messages again. Let me just say this to you. You know, sometimes we say, we need to go study it more. I need to study more. Some things you don't have to study more. When Jesus said, he that believes, even if baptized shall be saved, that's not something you have to study. It's something you have to believe. Work on your belief, because the Bible will always say baptism for the remission of sins. The Bible will always say one church, Church of Christ. That ain't something you have to study. It is something you have to believe. And if you believe it, then you'll be okay, because everything in the Bible will be consistent. So tonight, we thank Brother Martin for bringing the message tonight. We encourage you to please get back with the person who put you on the call or contact us. And we thank you for joining us tonight. Tomorrow night, we have a speaker coming, Brother Samuel Ramirez, Tahlequah, Oklahoma. The Precious Blood of Jesus. He's going to speak on that. Brother Mike Hickson from Olive Branch, Mississippi, will talk Wednesday night on the topic, the saved are in the church. Brother John DeBerry from Memphis, Tennessee, will talk tomorrow night, Thursday night, from the subject, the cleansing power of the blood. And then closing us out this week will be Brother Daniel Freeman from McCook, Nebraska, the saving power of the blood. My friends, my family, those we love, please take heed. People are dying every day from this COVID-19. Don't die in your sins. You don't have to. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, Ram, you cannot come. The good news is God gave his only son that you didn't have to be lost. You can be saved, and we hope you take these messages serious. And join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30. We'll bring a sound doctrine preacher into your home. 30 minutes tell you what you must do to be saved. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for his death on the cross, for the blood that he shed it. And we know now that we wash our sins away in baptism. Thank you for the love you give. You've given. It was you who said, that you gave your only son. It was him who said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And we're thankful to be his friend. We pray for our listening audience tonight that they too will understand the seriousness and the magnitude of this message tonight and the eternal consequences that one must suffer if they don't obey you. Father, give them the heart to receive your word with meekness, and that they too may be saved. We thank you for our speaker tonight from Seattle, Washington. Thank you for the speakers all across this nation that have volunteered their time, their 30 minutes, to be the speaker to come into our home. Help us, Lord. We need you in this world. We need you at this time of the pandemic of COVID-19 and the world's wickedness that we see plastered on our TVs. But help us to see the death message you presented to all of us, that we will die. But help us as we lay down tonight, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, to sleep in peace. But we pray for those who have not obeyed the gospel, that their sleep will not be a peaceful one until they obey you. We love you and we thank you. As in the precious name of Jesus, I pray this prayer, and I pray that others are praying along with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us tomorrow night for another powerful message on the simple truth about what one must do to be saved. Have a good night.